opportunity to welcome our guest this morning, Josh Schlott. Josh works part-time with Youth for Christ Canada in the role of discipleship specialist, as well as serving on the Young Leaders Advisory Board. You can find Josh hanging out at the Bridge Drop-In Center in Peterborough during the week. Would you please join us?
Yes. I'd love to. Well, good morning, everyone. I need to turn down my computer. Awesome. Well, I'm very happy to be here with you guys, and I do have a slideshow up there. Eventually, it will come up. Hopefully. Oh. For some reason, my notes aren't coming up either, so. Uh-oh. Can you grab my phone there for a sec? I thought I'd set everything up, and then all of a sudden my computer decides to give me issues at this moment. So, anyways, there we go. No, I don't want to run diagnostics. Anyways, I will pull up my notes on my phone instead, because it's not giving me issues. Apologize for this, guys. This is why I usually print them off at the beginning, and so it helps a lot. Would someone be able to have the Wi-Fi password here at all? Yes. Sorry, Austin. I apologize for this. I've never had this issue before, but for some reason, yeah. Yeah, if you can put it on there. It worked at practice. It's just the way things are, but you just deal with it, I guess. I know. I want to build the anticipation right now, because I believe what God has to say for us is very exciting, because it is from His Word, so. And it is for you guys. And so, yes. Oh, the internet. There we go. Perfect. We are in right now. And I got it. I should have. Okay. So, now it just needs to. Okay, thank you so much for your patience. It is all good now. We are good to go. So, my name is Josh, and I'm very grateful to be here with you guys. Being able to not only bring God's word to you guys, but also share with you about what YFC has been doing here locally in Kawartha. But then also, because my role with Youth for Christ, who here knows about Youth for Christ? Just show of hands. Okay, so I don't need to let you guys know all about Youth for Christ right now, but it's like, so part of the duality in my role is I work for Youth for Christ Canada also. And I'd recently taken on this new role with Youth for Christ Canada as the discipleship specialist. She's like, now, I don't really like the word specialist, because it means that I know everything about it, and I'm still learning a lot about that, as you can see. I'm still a very young person, and so I'm still growing in that. But part of my role is with Youth for Christ Canada is I get to interact with over 700 staff all across Canada that are living out one mission, and that is that one mission is seeing every young person living fully in Christ. It's not halfway, like not just stepping into a relationship with Christ and just living that, but living fully in Christ means living in full experience and knowing and trusting and understanding the hope that they have. And what does that look like? And so being a part of that role and seeing staff all across Canada living out this mission together, and all these staff connected with churches in their communities and doing it in different ways and discipling youth and outreaching towards communities that are in need of God's hope and God's love, it gets me excited. And so I just want to share with you guys just the beauty of what God's been doing locally here in Peterborough. And so Peterborough operates as a satellite to Kawartha Youth for Christ. And now I'm not going to get into the large flow chart of like how all this operates and works, but Peterborough Youth Unlimited ministers directly to Peterborough here. And so we have two drop-in centers now. We have one in the downtown core, which has been there for on Brock and corner of Brock and Bethune for over 20 years, ministering towards inner city youth through drop-in programs, through some of you guys know the followers and training program that Amanda Volk, some of you guys are connected with Amanda Volk, and that discipleship program that she runs. And then out of that downtown youth center, we have, we run after school programs and connecting with different communities, like in the north end here, connecting with TAS students, and then we also connect, and then running after school programs for PACE students in the drop-in center, outreaching towards those communities of kids and youth that are in need of God's hope and love, and being able to provide critical care for them too in that instance. And so I just have a cool little picture for you guys. So this is a picture of us celebrating graduations for these students that are that have graduated from high school. They graduated this past June, and we got to celebrate with them because this was a huge milestone for some of them. And so this is a picture from one of our after school programs, and these are just some of the youth that we get to connect with. And a lot of these youth have no prior connection to church whatsoever, and have been relationships that we've established just through friends or just connecting with them through drop-in or other forms of ministry. But a number of these youth, this is their first time ever experiencing or understanding or knowing who Jesus is, because a lot of them are like one or two generations, their family are separate from the church. And so this is all new to them. And so we get to be a part of initiating these conversations and discipling them. And these youth got to be a part of Alpha with them. So we got to walk through Alpha with them, discovering and walking through questions in regards to faith, understanding the Holy Spirit, understanding who Jesus is and how he lived his life. And then also through that, we get to engage with them in one-on-one discipleship also, going for walks with them, because we feel and we see some of the biggest growth in their lives is when we're able to just go for a walk with them, hear them out, listen to what they're going through, and then encourage them. So another part of our ministry here in Peterborough is we run the youth network of a bunch of different youth groups and churches that we gather together, and we run youth rallies, youth missions conference, and just have a fun time too. And so these two pictures, one of them is from one of our most recent youth rally that we had just this past fall, which was really fun and exciting, and we had over 100 youth come out and be a part of it, and also take part in a gospel message and engaging. One of the elements that we added to it this year was we got youth to be praying for their city And so we gathered. It was one of the coolest things I had ever seen, is we got all these youth into Calvary Pentecostal Church in their big auditorium. All of them were in a circle, and they're all kind of holding hands. Thankfully, it's not COVID right now, so we're allowed to do that. But they're all gathering in a circle, holding hands, and we had a mic in the middle. And it was an opportunity for these youth and these kids. We had prayer points that we would walk them through specific things within the city or within Peterborough or within the schools that just needed to be prayed over. And we told them that God, one of the most important things that we could do in our relationship with God is spend time in prayer with him. And God asked us to bring these requests to him. And so these youth, one by one, were coming up and praying in front of all their friends, all these people, and some people that they didn't know, praying for these things. And it was so beautiful and amazing to see. And the night, we were only supposed to do that for like 15 minutes. But as the night went on, I had to step out to make sure all the parents, because all the parents were showing up and just letting them know, oh, we're just going to be another 5 minutes. Oh, it's just, they're just praying right now. It's going to be done soon. It's like 5 minutes goes by, 10 minutes goes by. 20 minutes goes by, and they're still coming up to the mic and praying. And I'm like, these kids are hungry to see God move within their city. And we get to be a part of a youth organization that is encouraging them and discipling and saying, like, you guys, God's given you gifts. When you've chosen to follow him, he's given you gifts to use for his kingdom. And you guys get to be a part of sharing this beautiful message with your friends, and God is real in your life, real and present. And so part of the youth network, we run intentional youth missions conference once a year, where we take time to really disciple them and teach them how to be bold and share their faith with their friends in their schools. And so having that has been huge in building confidence or understanding the confidence that they have in him and understanding the works of the Holy Spirit within them to walk in that righteousness in their schools and sharing with their friends and listening to what their friends are going through and being intentional with them in the hopes that our youth are being disciples that are making disciples that are making disciples. And so that is what we... That is a lot of what we have been doing here in Peterborough. Now, during the summer, we've been focusing in on a lot of outreach into communities that we have not been connecting with for a while now. And so some of these smaller communities, one of them being the Tallwood community, another one being Jackson Park and Dalhousie. And so we actually had this big trailer, as you can see the picture right there, a big trailer where we had all of like our barbecues, tables, games and activities, everything like that jammed in there. And we go to these different locations and we just do pop-up activities, inviting youth to come and be a part of it throughout the week. And then we would run community barbecues where in one area, specifically the Tallwood area, where it was such a, the community had been through such a turnover in people. And so they're so disconnected that when we first started running these barbecues, there was very few people that were showing up because they're very hesitant to engage with each other. And maybe part of that is because of COVID, but as we started running more and more of them, we started seeing more of the community coming out. And we started doing them last year, and we continued them this year. And one of the most beautiful things about connecting with this community, and one of them coming up to me saying, he's like, this is something, he says to me, this is something that our community needs. I feel I've lived here for 5 years, and I feel very disconnected with everyone. But because of this, I've been getting to know my neighbors. And I've been getting, and I feel cared for and loved by you guys. And I feel ready to kind of step out into the world. And so I think this is so good. And as we're outreaching, we're able to connect with younger kids of these families that were always very that would be that some of them were immigrant families to Canada that were always hesitant to connect with other organizations because because there's just that disconnect. And so during the summer, we saw great fruit from doing these different summer outreach. And we had, this past year, we had two amazing interns that helped us out with that too, that we hired on, that were amazing for us. And the last thing is just kind of personally for my role, I work with YSC Canada, and part of my job is training and discipling, training staff across Canada, and kind of bringing forth this culture of intentional discipleship to staff all across Canada. And so I get to connect with new staff that are going through a credentialing process through one of our training events called Summer Institute and our regional training events. And so through that, I get to teach them. I get to share cool ways that you can be communicating with youth, bringing a lot of like the experience that I've had as a YFC staff over the years, and encouraging them as they are beginning their journey with YFC as they go through this credentialing process. And so this is just some pictures that I got of our team and of some of the staff the newer staff that have been hired on with YFC throughout Canada. And so I'm very much so enjoying what God has been doing through YFC throughout all of Canada and being a part of witnessing it. So on my personal update, I have some exciting news. So my wife is over here, and so I recently have been married for a little over a year and a half. It's not, yeah. But we are very excited to introduce our own little Lot coming. And so if you can be praying for me, I'm very excited and Kara's very excited, but we're new parents, so we don't know what we're getting ourselves into. Or maybe we do. We don't know. Anyways, just a little personal update that I like to throw in there to let you guys know about. Anyways, I want to get into the message, and I think this message is very important for us here and now. I think it's important not just for this church, but for the church here in Peterborough. And I think with YFC, I think one of the biggest things that we always ask the question of, at least in our staff meetings, and we talk about a lot, is how can we be engaging with our community? Or asking this question, how can we be a good neighbor to the ones around us, to where God has placed us? And as I go through this message, it's not going to be really long or strange, but there's a lot of important, amazing pieces of information and what Jesus is teaching through this parable that I really want to get at and encourage you guys with as a church. You guys here have such a rich legacy of not just supporting YFC, but being present within this community and reaching out towards this community. And my hope and prayer, and I know this is your prayer too, is that you want to see this community being changed by the gospel, by the good news that Jesus loves them and has died on a cross and rose again in 3 days. And because of that, you can have a right relationship. You can stand before God and hear him call you a son and daughter. And that is what you want to see. And that is our hope and prayer for this community. Anyways, I'm just going to pray as we go into it. Father, we just come before you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and for your grace. Lord, I thank you for this church. This church that faithfully lives out a mission and a call that you've placed on their hearts for this community. Lord, I pray that you're continuously raising up people to take on this, to take on this call, to see the neighbors of this church. Know that God loves them, that God desires to have a relationship with them, and that you've chosen to use us for that, to be image bearers of that message. Lord, I pray for this church that they are continually being shaped into the image of your Son, Jesus, as they continually trust and follow your leading for their lives. God, you are so good to us, and your grace and your mercy is so rich. And so, Lord, right now, as we're in this place, as we dive into your word, let it change and transform our lives. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us to give us wisdom, to know where we're supposed to go, to step where we're supposed to step, to speak and to listen when we're supposed to speak and listen. Thank you, God. In your Son's name, amen. All right, so if you guys want to turn to Luke 10, 25 to 37. And we're just going to read through this. All right. So, once again, starting in Luke 10, 25 to 37. A teacher of the law stood up and put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? Have you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, the teacher of the law, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story, a parable. He said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw this man, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where this man was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went to him. He bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And when he set him on, and then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn to take care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.'" Jesus then looks to the crowd and looks to the man and says, "Which 3 of these do you think was the neighbor to the man who had fallen into the hands of the robbers?" The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." So, in this instance in Scripture, we see Jesus is being tested by a teacher of the law, or approached by a teacher of the law, and at this moment, Jesus had already had a following around him, and so he had intrigued the minds of the Pharisees, and so this Pharisee or this teacher of the law comes up to him asking this question of how do I inherit eternal life? And now Jesus responds, as he usually does, with asking a question. And a pretty simple question for this Pharisee to answer, because this Pharisee understood the law. But Jesus asks this question of, what does the law say? This Pharisee, already knowing and having an answer to this, he states, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now see, for the teacher of the law, he knew the law, lived out the law, in a way that he thought he should. So, in Deuteronomy 6:4-9, we see this statement of loving the Lord your God with everything that you have being stated within the commandments, being summed up in this. And then the person who wrote Deuteronomy goes on to say, he said, impress them on your children. So like this living out of loving the Lord your God with everything that you have. He says, impress this on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Even tie symbols around your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them down on the door frames of your house and on your gates. Jewish people were called to meditate on these words, to live them out, to do whatever they possibly could to know and understand that we are called to, that they are called to love the Lord your God with everything that they have. And so for the teacher of the law, this was a very simple answer to this question. So, because they knew and they studied, but did they really understand this? Did they really understand what it meant to live this out? So the Pharisee, feeling like he answered this question, and he knew what he was talking, and he knew what he was talking about, wanted to continue this conversation, because all of a sudden he is the center of the attention of this crowd, and Jesus is talking in amongst, and he asked this question of how I might inherit eternal life, and he gave this amazing answer. He's like, well, I feel like I'm at par right now with Jesus, and so like I just want to justify myself even more, so I'm going to ask this question of, well, who is my neighbor? And I think this is a great question for us. And Jesus dives into it, of asking this question, answers this question of who is our neighbor? Who is my neighbor? So Jesus replies with this amazing parable of this man that is coming down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and as he's walking along, these robbers show up and they beat him half to death and they leave him. And then three people show up. And Jesus identifies these three specific people. One being a priest. So this man that was coming down from Jerusalem to Jericho, you can assume that he was familiar with the law and he knew he aligned with the beliefs of Jewish of Israel. And so him coming along, and then this priest who is looked at as being one of the leaders of priests who followed the law and were qualified men and that cared for the worship of the temple and the people within the temple and looking after the sacrifices and all of that. This priest, who should be the person living this out of loving the Lord your God and the ones around you, looks at him and then walks along the road on the other side. And then a Levite comes out, and a Levite was a person that cared for the temple, looked after the temple, They were the musicians, the gatekeepers, the guardians, the temple officials, the judges, and the craftsmen within the temple. And he too should have known what it meant to love God and love the ones around, and yet he walks around on the other side. See, the reason why this is because they were looking at the law over, they were holding up the law over grace. Because for them, if they were coming from Jerusalem to Jericho, they had probably previously been at the temple, and they'd probably given a sacrifice at that moment. And when they'd given the sacrifice, they were already ceremonially clean. And so for them to engage within this person, they would be unclean. And so they were upholding the law over actually grace and what the law actually stands for. And so they walked along on the other side. And through that, they showed no compassion for this man. But there was this third person, a Samaritan. Now, a Samaritan, for you guys who don't know, or maybe you do know, they were ones who claimed to be related by blood to the Israelites and were from ancient Samaria that were deported by the Syrians who conquered the kingdom of Israel, so the northern kingdom, that were dispersed. And so they made this claim that they were of that blood of the Israelites, of the ones that were conquered by Assyria and scattered. And so, but the Israelites the Israelites at that time did not like Samaritans. They did not like them at all, nor did they care for them, and they never spent time around them. They avoided them. So when Jesus is introducing a Samaritan into the story, this is a person that they would have that would have been the least likeliest person to care for this man, because they're disgusted by them. But yet this Samaritan, and it's one of the most powerful parts within this this parable, stating and showing that he was moved by compassion to do something. The Samaritan went up to this man. He bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal and brought him and took care of him, brought him to an inn and took care of him. And then not only that, he left him at the inn, leaving money to pay for it. And then if he ends up having to stay even longer, he says, I will come back and pay for it. So this Samaritan is going above and beyond because he's moved by this compassion to care for this man. And I think this leaves a good question for us within this question of who is my neighbor, or how am I to be a good neighbor? And I believe this example within the Samaritan is that the Samaritan was moved by compassion to care for this man. And so this question to us, and what I was thinking about as I was going through this, is how am I to be moved by God's compassion for the people in this city, for the people I come in contact with, for the people within our community? How are we to be moved by compassion by that? And part of that is loving God. But another part of that is looking at Jesus as this example of a good neighbor. We see Jesus exemplifying what it means to have unity with the Father and to live out a pure relationship with the Father. And I believe Jesus exemplifies this loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and loving your neighbor. And Jesus did this as an example for us, all the way to the point of dying on a cross for us, for me and you, that that had never been in contact with Jesus, who we would think would be an afterthought. But yet Jesus did that, and he was that good neighbor. So when I look to Jesus, I look to Jesus as this example of how are we to be a good neighbor. He was a good neighbor, and he lived that example for us. And I believe when Jesus was sent to this earth that he was called to be not only to die on that cross, but also to give this example of what it means to live, to love the Lord your God with everything that you have, and to love your neighbor. So I'm going to give you a little bit of an insight into my life growing up as a kid. So I'd grown up, I'm the oldest of four biological kids. And when I was 10 years old, my parents started fostering kids. And so when they started fostering kids, it came out of a tough time for my parents when they ended up losing a child losing a child in the womb. And so my parents really felt called and led by God to take in kids that didn't have families or were in need of a safe family. And so these two girls showed up at our house when I was 10 years old, didn't know anything about them, didn't know where they came from or anything like that. But all of a sudden, they were a part of our family. And so I don't think my parents knew what they were getting themselves into, because we ended up finding out throughout this that these girls had been to 7 different homes, and they were only 6 and 7. They had been abused, physically abused, verbally abused, not taken care of by their biological, by family members, or by other foster homes or group homes that they had been in. So they were very, very broken and hurting kids. And because they had been so beaten down by life and by people around in their life, they did not trust anyone. And they would go around, and with my parents and with us, they'd be trying to sabotage our relationship with them, trying to prove and to show that they weren't deserving of being in a family, they weren't deserving of love, they weren't deserving of anything, because all they really knew that they could care and trust in is themselves. And it was the hardest first couple years with that, especially with my parents having zero experience in knowing what they got themselves into. And me watching my parents being hurt over and over and over again. But for some reason, my parents trucked through it and cared and loved these kids, these girls. Now when I look at this and I look back at this story, but there became a point when I was younger that I started to see God's love through my parents. And that moment was... those moments were when they were being abused by these kids, and yet my parents still choosing over and over again to take care of them, to love them. And I look at that as not being the love that they can offer, but the love that God exemplified to them and showed them and strengthened them with to love these kids, these girls. Now, these two girls grew up with our family and eventually started trusting us and trusting my parents. Both of them ended up staying with our family until they were 18. One of them went off to college, became a dental hygienist, and is now married and loves Jesus and is serving in a church in Oshawa. And the other girl is still kind of struggling, but is at least able to take care of herself and isn't dependent on the system. But these two girls got something and are the 1% of kids that that had gone through and experienced similar things that they had experienced, they're the 1% to kind of make it through. And I look at this as God's love being shown to them through my parents. And my parents choosing to be a good neighbor to these kids, inviting them in and doing all that they possibly could to care for them. If we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, and we are to love our neighbor as ourself, part of it is trusting in God's love, in God's strength, God's Holy Spirit within us, to really care for this community. And that this isn't just an individual goal, but this is a collective goal and a calling for the church to be a good neighbor, to be moved by compassion. So this question of, as I finish off, this question of who is my neighbor? My neighbor is who is in need, and I, or we, are in the position to do something about it. God's given us gifts, beautiful gifts. So let's continue and strive towards being good neighbors to this community, because it is hurting, and we see it. Father, we just come before you. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness and your grace in our lives. Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus and just the beautiful work of him coming into this world, being our example of what it means to live a righteous relationship with you, Lord, to live, to love you with all that we have, and to love the community around us. So, Lord, I pray for this church. I pray for the Church of Peterborough, that we are strengthened by your love, by the relationship that we have with you, to step out into our community, to use the gifts, the beautiful gifts that you've given us. And through loving you with everything that we have, we love our neighbors as ourselves. Thank you, God. Thank you for your goodness and your great mercy that you've given us and that you've called us your sons and daughters. Amen.